Richard. It's the 50s on 5, keeping the big beats alive. Doing something I've never done before, Canadian Thursday. We have so many great listeners in Canada, and so many great artists came from Canada. And I'm about to bring one of those on the air right now, one of the top-selling Canadian artists of all time. It is my pleasure to bring on the Night Prowl Show, the great Bobby Curtola.
Hey, what an introduction. Wow.
Bobby, so good to hear from you, man.
Thank you. Listen, you'd be surprised how many people tell me about your show.
Really?
I sneak in on my computer, and I'm listening, and you put me right back there. Man, you make it like it's live. It's not just spinning records with you, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Bobby, and I want to wish you a very happy birthday. It's a couple of weeks late, but we honored your birthday on the show a few weeks ago with a couple of records of yours.
No, I know. You should see the calls I got.
All right, now you're lying to me.
No, I did. My dear friend from Vancouver, from the island there.
Cool. Father. Wow. That's great.
Yeah, and he's got you plugged in pretty good. He told me how to tell everybody else how to get on the computer and get you, so.
Great. And, you know, you and I have something else in common.
Uh-oh.
We're paisans.
I had to do that.
You're a paisan from way back, huh?
Oh, am I ever. Proud of it. Both sides of my family.
Me too.
No kidding.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you know, it's a funny story because when my grandparents were alive, we always spoke Italian at home.
Mm.
But, you know, my father was from the north and my mother was from the south. So when the grandparents were gone, it was really, they used to have trouble every once in a while because the dialects are so different, understanding
each
other.
So right.
They never spoke as much. But my dear friend in Toronto, Johnny Lombardi, because my father was a Trevisan from Treviso and his mother was Sicilian. And my mother was, her mother, they were from Abruzzi and Calabria.
Really?
So they used to call me a minestrone Italian.
Bobby,
a little bit of everything.
I'm half Calabrese myself.
Are you? Oh, yeah. That's my relatives there.
Great.
Oh, that's big.
That's cool.
Super
that's very,
God.
Very cool.
Oh, I can smell it already in the olives. We were so spoiled growing up.
Yeah,
I mean, unbelievable, the food we used to get and take for granted.
Yeah, I know now. Things don't taste as good, right?
Oh, and it's unbelievable. Like, any one of our family parents, I mean, they could open the number one restaurant in town if they wanted to.
I know what you mean.
Oh, so good.
Now, you were born in Port Arthur, Ontario?
Port Arthur, Fort William, in those days, since changed the name to Thunder Bay, Ontario. And in those days, it was the second largest Italian community in Canada, next to Toronto.
Oh, that's interesting.
They all went up there to build the railroad, the CNR spur of the railroad, and a lot of the immigrants came over, and that's where my grandparents first got to come through New York up to Canada, and that's where they settled, because they were working there. All of the families were.
You know, I'm from Boston, and right now the Red Sox and the Blue Jays are playing.
Uh-oh. But we won't have any differences, will we?
Oh, absolutely not.
Good.
We'll go beyond baseball.
I love baseball.
So growing up, you're speaking Italian in the house.
Oh, yeah. We did Italian and English, but, you know, it's just the way it was. I mean,
I imagine Mario Lanza records were probably pretty big in the house, too.
Absolutely. And you know that every Italian, you know, my grandfather's friend used to play the accordion.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the weekends. So everybody go to grandma's place, all of the relatives, all of the sons and daughters and the cousins, and all the kids would get to play, and then they'd get into the homemade wine, and the accordion would be going, and they'd all be, you know, imitating Mario Lanza and whatever else, you know, all of the Italian songs. And
exactly.
What a great way for me to grow up, though, because that heritage and history was so wonderful, because you learned about sharing and how important family was, and I used to tell everybody when I first got into the entertainment business, forget the police. I was more afraid of my father.
Yeah, me too.
He didn't get it right. Oh, boy, I tell you.
Right. No, the old Italian temper.
Well, it's true. Just had the look, and that was it, you know? But great. Great support all my life. I just lucky that that heritage was so good, because we always had music in our house. My mother loved to sing, and I used to get into the movies on the Saturday when I was a kid. If you sang on the radio, they used to have Elmer's Talent Time, and if you sang on the radio, you got a free movie. So that meant the 25 cents went to popcorn, you know. So because we were always singing at home, you know, because of the heritage of our families, it wasn't odd to do that. It was just fun for us as kids. And who thought Who thought that I'd be making records? Not me.
So as far as like popular music goes, what were you listening to and what were you being influenced by besides the Italian songs?
Well, you know, the kid listening to the radio, I mean, you know what it was about. I mean, Elvis was number one, and that whole change in music, I mean, we were all in love with those songs, and of course, they influenced us, the radio did those days, and into my teens, of course, when it all changed, I used to impersonate the songs on the radio, so I'd listen to, you know, Buddy Holly, Elvis, all of them, Brenda Lee, Connie Francis, all of those songs. I mean, we used to listen in Thunder Bay, Port of Fort William, to Dick Biondi at
Wallace,
Chicago, because he used to come across the lake crystal clear. So we'd get all of the new tunes before they ever were played in Canada.
What a great jock. You know,
I got to meet him years later and actually did a few shows with him. What a great guy.
He still sounds good today.
He's a wonderful
person.
Yeah,
he really is. Absolutely.
I haven't seen him in a bunch of years, but God bless you.
And
he sure played the heck out of Fortune Teller for me in the U.S. and Got a big hit record in Chicago because people like you. You know, without the airplay in the record business,
yeah, the
public decides. But, you know, if it wasn't for those disc jockeys, you know, Matt, you have a personality and you are like then now, which is what's been missing in radio because they all try to program generically everything. But the fact of the matter was that in those early days in the 60s, the DJs were the stars, and they had their fans, and they introduced record stars like us, or artists like us, to their fans. I mean, everywhere you went, if you went to the different town, the DJ that was number one there playing rock and roll, had the Coca-Cola Hi-Fi show, or whatever it was the man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys in Toronto at Chum, it was unbelievable how popular they were.
Yeah, we're going to have a Chum countdown from this week in 58 coming up in about an hour from now.
Yeah. That'll be a good reflection for us Canadians.
Tell me how powerful that station was.
Oh, it was the station. They created the whole mosaic of what was happening in Canada. And what they did was they bridged the United States sound and interspersed the Canadian things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got played on Chum, I mean, the awareness factor of your music just changed your life. I remember when they started to play and chart our records, well, that it was over. Up to that point, we were sporadic on airplay in the markets in Canada. And I guess if there's a claim to fame, the difference with me was, and I preface this by saying, if you don't know what not to do, and it's a double negative, the comment is, it usually works. So there we were, releasing these records that my late managers had written and I had recorded in the local radio station, and marketing it to the DJs and the stations across Canada. And, of course, without a chart, it was hard to get airplay. So the smaller ones started first, and then slowly we got into the bigger markets, and then gently we evolved to Toronto. And because of the airplay, when they played us, it was over.
Wow.
It was number one.
Well, take me now, the evolution here, where we went from, you know, a young Bobby Cotola who just loves music to forming Bobby and the Bobcats. I mean, how did we get from one step to another?
Well, you know what? It's like a dream, really. I mean, it sounds like I made it up, honestly. But my late managers, God bless them, the Herdin brothers, wrote music for quite a few years. And in Canada, if you remember back then, one of them worked for Manpower, and they created a slogan called, it went, "Don't wait for spring, do it now, when there are men who know how." It was like a job thing for Manpower, and that got played. They had another song that was played that got recorded in the U.S. earlier on, but they wanted to do something for posterity with this music of theirs, and they had a nightclub band called the Buddy Edwards Trio, and their sons and daughters called the Dons. And they were in the process of recording at the radio station while the network news was on. And those days, when the network news came, they used to flick the switch and go to the main feed, which meant the control board was free.
Oh, okay.
So for that 1 hour of news, they were in there recording these songs, and that happened to be the year, my first year of high school, and one of the sons told his dad about this kid that had started singing in high school. So they approached me to sing on this record, and the first record, Hand in Hand with You, had the Dons on one side singing Johnny Take Your Time, and myself singing the lead on a song called Hand in Hand with You. And that was recorded in October of 59, released around the end of January, February of 1960, and slowly but surely made its way through the small stations to the bigger ones, and in the spring of March, April, hit Chum, and in May and June, it was just number one, and I was on weekend flying Air Canada, or which was Trans-Canada Airlines then, to all these different towns on a weekend while school was on with my homework, coming back on a Monday, wondering what the heck happened. You know?
Oh, man, you must have been beat.
Oh, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But prior to that, what happened with the band was there I was in high school, and this young lady who remembered me singing at the skating rink in the winter, because on the last skate, because I used to listen to the radio all the time, she'd say on the last skate, come on, Bobby, sing the latest song on the radio, and I'd sing it. We'd do the whip, and I was in the middle, and I was singing all the, you know, when the rink manager says used to say 10 minutes, then that's when we did the whip, and I'd sing all the songs, and we'd whip them off, and then we'd all go home for 9 o'clock, but she remembered that, and in my first grade, she said, well, I've got this guy with the guitar, and Brian Merritt was his name. Brian's got a little band. We're going to do our form's going to put an assembly on, and we'd like, I know you sing, so would you like to sing back up for the band? So there we were. I was singing back up in Brian's band, and he was country. And then he says, well, why don't you sing a couple of songs? And when I started to sing, he says, holy cow, this is good. So he says, when you're out front, it'll be Bobby and the Bobcats.
Ah,
and when I'm out front, it's Brian Merritt and the Wheels or something like that. So there we go singing at the school assembly. So Brian does his two numbers, and I do my two numbers, and the girls go crazy. Mm-hmm. And they're all clapping and screaming, so the principal lets us play at the noon sock hop. So all of a sudden, this is September to October, right? By October, we've got every school in the area coming to our noon sock hops, and then I'm doing a radio show live with the band and concert at Inter.
Wait, so you'd get like some time on the radio to perform, right?
Yes, yeah. And so this is all happening while my late managers and songwriters were recording this song. So by October, I'm in the studio at the radio station. Like, how did that happen? And I'm singing the one side of this song. And you have to understand that in those days, it was all of these microphones leading into a board and one cord coming out into an Aztec tape recorder.
One channel, yeah.
So if you didn't get the take right, it was no good. So
right.
There we were trying to get a good take. And on one of the breaks, we came back, and the harmonica player, Buddy Edwards, played an incredible solo in Hand in Hand with You. And notwithstanding any of the other performances, which were okay and average, the harmonica sold the record, and thank God I was on it. That's all I can say. It was a brilliant solo. And that was my start. It was like, can you believe that? 1959, September. October, I'm recording. Christmas happens, they're pressing the records, and by February, I have a record release.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. You know, let's pause for a moment here and play Johnny Take Your Time.
Okay.
All right. Bobby Curtola, one of the top-selling Canadian artists. He scored a couple of hits in the U.S., and I am so privileged and thrilled to have him on the show tonight talking about how it was back in the day. Here is Bobby Curtola with Johnny Take Your Time.
Johnny, she. Johnny, 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 take your time.
She looks so cool, walking by my side. She sounds so cool, talking by my side. How I would love to take her hand in mine. But my heart says, Johnny, Johnny, take your time.
Johnny, Johnny,